Hey everybody, Colt here. Thanks for stopping by and checking out our podcast. If you like what you hear and you want to hear more, be sure to check out our website, draftdive.com, or follow us on Twitter, @draftdive and @_ColtWilliams. Now, enjoy the episode.
Welcome back, everybody. It's another episode of the Draft Dive Fantasy Football Show. I'm Jonah, joined as always by my co-host, Colt. Colt, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. I mean, we just got done watching the Bengals-Jaguars Monday Night Football game. Let me give you just a quick little stat from Warren Sharp on Twitter. Here's a list of quarterbacks with at least 300 yards, 30 attempts, 10 yards per attempt, and 80% completion rating in games this year. You ready? Long list. Yeah. Jake Browning. End of list.
I mean, no,
I
think listened to me trash him, used it as billboard material or locker room material, and really, you know, good for him.
Yeah, it's wild that we're seeing this kind of performance. There are a lot of people. I wasn't one of them, but I saw a lot of start sit questions, you know, on Twitter asking, "Hey, Tank Dell or Ja'Marr Chase?" Just because, you know, they watched the quarterback play there last week from Jake Browning, and they were curious. Obviously, you know, Ja'Marr Chase is the better wide receiver, although Tank Dell is, you know, not too bad himself, and even despite the injury. You know, Ja'Marr Chase goes out there and puts up a monstrous day. You know, 11 for 150 and one. I mean, Jake Browning did not let the ball touch the ground. So he, you know, round of applause for him because he looked great.
Absolutely. He earned it. What a performance. You know, that's all of him. What else can I say? I mean, what a performance. And it was against, I mean, I think we would agree an average to even above average defense. You know, wasn't even say like Arizona or someone we like to pick on. It was a decent defense.
They've been susceptible to the quarterback position, but not like this. And I mean, Jake, if there was somebody that was going to take advantage of it, didn't think it was going to be Jake Browning. So kudos to him.
Yeah.
Just a little bit of news we got here today as well. I mean, also in that game, Trevor Lawrence. I mean, he is added to the pile of quarterbacks who are injured on the season.
What a brutal year.
Such a bizarre injury as well. Not only did his left tackle roll up on his ankle, but then he also fell onto his own ankle. Clearly, it looks like it's going to be a multi-week type of injury, at least 1 week for sure. So C.J. Beathard is going to be the starter. But, I mean, Derek Carr, he's in concussion protocol as well. Kenny Pickett with an ankle injury. I mean, they're just going down left and right. So the Jake Brownings are going to look especially good, but even more so when they're balling out like this. But yeah, it's just tons of quarterback injuries here this week.
Yeah, this weekend. Yeah, this year it's been a rough year for quarterbacks, which is interesting. I mean, they keep changing rules to try and protect them. So, you know, I guess it's still a physical game and you never know what's going to happen out there.
Yeah. I've heard I don't know the science behind it. I'm an economist, not a scientist, but I don't know what the rules are about you know, maybe they're making the quarterbacks, you know, not as durable because they're making it more easier. They're making it easier for them just not to get injured. So they're not really training for falling or training for getting big hits or building up that muscle tissue from big hits. But nevertheless, yeah, it's wild how many. I mean, if you look at it from start to finish, the quarterbacks that started the season, which the quarterbacks that start in week 18, it's going to be night and day difference. I mean, over half of the league has changed the quarterback position.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Yeah, but let's go ahead. Let's get into our QB streamers here. We got a couple of teams on bye. We got the Cardinals, who have Kyler Murray, and Sam Howell, our boy on the Commanders. Both those are on bye this week, so maybe you have to plug in one of these guys. I think a name certainly worth mentioning is Jordan Love. I mean, he's a roster in about 60% of leagues, maybe less in some other formats, but on Sleeper, that's where we've got him. He plays the Giants, and it's kind of a, you know, the last three games, 8 touchdowns, no interception. If you spent your second round overall pick for Patrick Mahomes, you could have got the same thing in like the 13th round for Jordan Love. I mean, he has the same number of touchdowns, same number of interceptions as Patrick Mahomes. It's wild. A wild season for Jordan Love. We see the graphics all the time. We saw it on Sunday Night Football between Jordan Love, Brett Favre, and Aaron Rodgers in their first X amount of games starting for the Packers. Mm-hmm. And they're very similar. I mean, people want to kind of, you know, not love Jordan Love, but he looks good.
Basically identical down to the yard with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. And we're not saying he's Aaron Rodgers, but you can't knock him. You can't necessarily knock him for doing what he's doing. I mean, this is his, you know, he looks good. I think he's like the quarterback 9 or so on the season. So may not be available, but certainly a good consolation prize for a QB streamer. Got one of the other guys. I've got a 3-way tie. Well, really a 2-way tie. We've got to add this name here, but Gardner Minshew at the Bengals. Mm-hmm. Like I said, the Bengals, you've been able to pass on them. They're a little easier to pass on than the Titans, and Gardner Minshew just went up and put up 300 yards and a pair of touchdowns against them. I don't know if I like him more as a quarterback streamer or Jake Browning on the other side. Which one are you kind of leaning? Do you think this was a fluke from Jake Browning? I mean, we're certainly not expecting a 86% passer rating and 350 yards and 2 touchdowns, but which one do you like a little bit more in this matchup or just overall?
I mean, I like Minshew better. Mm-hmm. I do still carry a little, I guess, Jake Browning, you know, doubt in me. I need more than one game from him. It's definitely not a bad matchup. Indianapolis isn't anything special against the pass, so he has a chance to go out and have another good game. And hey, another good game, you can turn me into a believer. But yeah, Minshew has had multiple good games over his career. I mentioned him, I think the past 2 weeks, just because of the juicy schedule he had, Tennessee being part of that.
Yeah.
And it's just looks good for him going forward, Cincinnati this week. And then off the top of my head, I can't remember who he has 2 weeks from now, but it's another weak matchup.
Yeah, he's looked good all season. But yeah, he comes up Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, Atlanta, Raiders. So nothing that's going to scare you away from Gardner Minshew. Hopefully you've got better options, but if you got to stream a guy, you could do worse than Gardner Minshew. I'm in the Jake Browning camp, but it's not, you know, it's not the same. Not everybody's, it's not going to be for everybody, right? Because this is week 14. This is when you need to get into the fantasy playoffs. If you don't have the stones to throw out Jake Browning out there, I totally understand. You can go Gardner Minshew, certainly a safer pick than Browning. But after what I saw from him here, you know, this week, I'm probably starting to move for Minshew. But it's that same tier, though. It's you know, clearly it's not as far as we thought before the end of night's game. It may be recency bias as well, but I thought Jake Browning looked great. Joe Flacco versus the Jags. I mean, we just saw what Jake Browning did to them, but he's more of a deeper play. He looked kind of competent for his 2023 debut. I mean, the Jags are allowing fourth most points to the quarterback position, and that does probably even more now with Jake Browning throwing at 350 and 2. So, yeah, Joe Flacco is clearly a pocket statue, and that's kind of where you want him anyways, but he looked okay. Mm-hmm. I think you could certainly do worse at the quarterback position. Any other quarterbacks you want to mention here? Or, I mean, that's kind of 4 names.
Actually, yeah, got a couple. I mean, I'll just say, you know, agree about Jordan Love. He went up against that Kansas City secondary and did something I don't think any quarterback's done against that secondary. And they have played elite quarterbacks. So more love for Jordan Love. But Joshua Dobbs has actually dropped. It looks like I've got him in 46% of leagues here. And so still not a bad option. I know he's coming off a real stinker of a game, but he had 3 good games before that. So maybe the Bears just confused him. They do have some talent on the defense. And then mentioned Derek Carr in a concussion protocol, which means we got to talk about Jameis Winston.
Yeah.
He can throw for a lot of yards. and some touchdowns and some interceptions. But, you know, there's no doubt. I mean, what, he had two touchdowns in half a game that he played earlier this year. I don't know his yardage, but the guy does not mind chucking it downfield. So.
Yeah, and he's a touchdown machine. I remember early last year, he wasn't throwing for a lot of yards, 260 and two. I guess that is actually a good bit, but yeah, he was throwing for a lot of touchdowns, even just starting the season last year. But yeah, 120 and 2.5. So, you know, pretty good pace there if he were to keep that up. But Jameis Winston, yeah, I like him for sure. Carolina,
see, especially if you're not penalized that much for interceptions, then he's great.
Yeah, exactly. He loves throwing interceptions as well. 30 for 30 season, I'll never forget it. But yeah, no, Jameis Winston is certainly a good pick there. Joshua Dobbs, I got to get your insight on this as the resident Vikings fan. Where are they at? No one knows
where they're at. My feeling is they're going to stick with Dobbs for at least, I mean, I guess if he came out and played a half like he did, they might pull him at half, but I think he's going to be the starter going in. You know, they're still 6-6. They still, if it ended today, would be in the playoffs. So I think it's hard to switch away from a guy who's been going for a few weeks now and looked good most of the time, just looked horrible against the Bears. But that's my feeling. I mean, I've heard all possibilities. Nick Mullins is their other kind of veteran quarterback, and he's been with them for a couple of years.
Yeah.
He's actually kind of he's a good backup.
Yeah.
And, you know, so he's been there a couple of years. He should know the offense better. And then, of course, rookie Jaren Hall, who looked great in one drive, but only got the one drive and is a rookie.
Yeah, if I had to lean one of the two out of Dobbs or Winston, I'd go Winston if Carr's certainly out, just because I know he would get the whole game. Joshua Dobbs, I'm in the same boat as you. I think he's going to be the one that starts here this game. I don't know if he's going to be the one that finishes. It can only take a mistake or two to get him off the field, which certainly scares me in week 14. But he has some of the highest upside as well with his rushing ability. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's tough. But that rushing floor, if he plays the whole game, is almost always nice.
It's very nice. Yeah, he's been killing it there on the ground. But yeah, no, great QB streamers there. A lot of options for the people here this week. Like I said, not a lot of teams on bye, just the Cardinals and Commanders. So
good because of those injuries, though.
Yeah. Speaking of injuries, let's go on to running backs. A lot of the guys we're going to be naming here are based off of the running backs that went down. Ezekiel Elliott, Patriots running back now. He's owned in about half of leagues. His running mate, Ramondre Stevenson, the starter, went down with a high ankle injury. That's typically a multi-week injury. He's going to at least miss a couple of games, I would really expect him to. But it's a bummer because he was running really well before exiting in that game there versus the Chargers, which, surprisingly, the Patriots covered the spread in that game. I don't know if you know that. In the 6-0 game, the Patriots covered the 6.5-point spread. So there's that. But Ezekiel Elliott, no other running back touched the football. He's going to be getting all of the work. What that means on the worst offense in football, to be determined. I would expect them to be down in a lot of these games coming up. There's some tougher games to be played, but he is a pass catcher. I would expect him to be getting a lot of receptions. So if you're in a PPR league, that's going to boost his production. But he's not like a Saquon Barkley on the Giants or a Breece Hall on the Jets, where the offense is horrible. But those players are very efficient and, you know, elite. Zeke isn't that anymore. He's kind of aged out of it. And yeah, he's kind of my pickup of the week because I know he's going to get a role. These other guys we have here to mention, I'm not too sure. I might like them more if we knew they were going to be out. But where are you at on Zeke here this week?
Yeah, you know, Zeke isn't the Zeke of old.
Yep.
And even though he should be getting all the touches, I still hate trusting a Bill Belichick running back ever in fantasy. But you basically know he's starting and getting a starter's workload, and you can never have too many starting running backs on your team.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. If you just need somebody who's going to get points, he's going to get points. But don't expect any kind of high ceiling. That's capped. They're not going to get in the red zone, so it's going to be very tough for him to be getting a lot of points there. Next running back here, Let's talk about Antonio Gibson. He's owned in a little bit more than 50% of leagues, but his running mate, Brian Robinson, both Commanders running backs, if you weren't aware of that, but he left with a hamstring injury. His status is unclear, and with a hamstring injury, we'll see people sometimes miss no games, sometimes go on IR. So it's something you'll have to kind of keep track of where everybody is with that. But Antonio Gibson, we saw him just two years ago and 3 years ago before that. 2 and 3 years ago, he was running back like 12 and running back 11. So he was great for fantasy when he had the whole job to himself. He's going into a bye, so that's not great. It's great for Brian Robinson. It gives him more time to heal up. But then they play the Rams on the road. The Rams are kind of a neutral game script versus the run. They're not necessarily favorable. But and then, you know, Brian Robinson may be back come in 2 weeks. So I'm not excited to pick him up because you may hold on to him for 2 weeks and you don't even get to play him. So that's where I'm kind of at with Antonio Gibson.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing we've kind of talked about, you know, guys taking over, the backup running back starting in or going into the starting spot. Gibson, he showed he can do it on the ground. He's actually a really talented pass catcher as well. Yeah. So he's someone it would be nice if you knew either one of those guys were going to get 100% of the touches, they'd, you know, be elite running backs or close to it in fantasy. You know, hey, if you need help at running back and it doesn't need to be like immediate, you need a starter this week, then yeah, definitely pick him up on the chance that he plays at least one game.
Yeah. I got a question for you. Did you get to see the Derrick Henry hit, like where he got knocked out of the game, like with concussion, if you will, but he was ruled with a concussion, or rather it was reported from Adam Schefter, but they're saying he's not in concussion protocol. Did you get to see that at all?
I actually didn't see that.
Okay, I'll send it your way. And it takes a lot to get Derrick Henry to go onto the ground, as you already know, but a big hit like this, I'll send it your way, but he looked like he got a concussion on the field. I don't know how he's not in concussion protocol, but his running mate, Tajay Spears, we need to mention him because we've been talking about grabbing these backup running backs. After Miami, they get a cake schedule. Miami's been shutting down running backs just simply because they haven't been used on the ground because they're up so many scores. But Tajay Spears, great rookie running back out of Tulane, I think. And he's just looked incredible in some of the flashes that he's got. And I don't see any reason why the Titans just don't, you know, check him out. Derrick Henry is a free agent after the season. See what you have in Spears, so you know what you need to get in the draft if not. But yeah, it's not an ideal matchup against Miami, but he's a great pass catcher as well, so you might get that just a whole bunch of targets going his way. Another situation of where we don't know if the starter is going to be out or not, just like Antonio Gibson.
Yeah, it does seem odd to be, I guess, in and out of concussion protocol in a day or two. So I'm not sure. I mean, I feel like they have been using Tajay Spears more. He's, you know, good for a few points a week. So, yeah, he's not even horrible if you need an emergency start right away, even if Henry doesn't play, especially in a PPR format, because he is very good catching the ball out of the backfield.
Yeah, absolutely. Another guy I got here, Kenneth Gainwell. They played the Eagles, rather. They played the 49ers. They were down pretty early. Going into the half, I think they were down and just never got back up. And, yeah, so they ended up using Kenneth Gainwell quite a bit in the passing game. DeAndre Swift looked like he sustained a little bit of an injury there that game. He wasn't ruled out or anything like that, continued to play. But something to monitor. I don't expect him to miss the game, but with his history, he may. Opening the door a little bit more for Gainwell when they play the Cowboys, who, you know, you're talking about people who are going to run up the score. The Cowboys have been killing it. So he could be a sneaky play there. And then Chase Brown, we're talking about insurance running backs. Chase Brown for the Bengals, I think he is somebody worth noting. Loved him in the pre-draft process. They didn't really get the draft capital that you would kind of expect for somebody who was getting the work that he was there in Illinois. But he looked good behind Joe Mixon, and if Joe Mixon were to go down with the way that Jake Browning has kind of played in at least one game, two-game sample size, it's night and day difference, but Chase Brown, I think, would be the backup running back if you have Joe Mixon, somebody I'd be grabbing onto there. I'm not starting him any other way, but at least he made a, you know, kind of a case for himself to be the backup.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, I don't think anyone expected Mixon to be on the Bengals this year, so it's kind of a shock that he still is and still getting starting carries.
Yeah.
I'd have to look. I don't know if they signed him to just a one-year deal, probably, but I can't say that for sure. They may want to take a look at less, what I would guess, less expensive options.
Yeah, pretty sure it was a two-year deal because he ended up taking a big pay cut. That was the biggest reason why they took him, just because he wasn't so productive. And then he was like, well, I'll take, like, no money, basically, for the good of the team. And, yeah, it's, I mean, Joe Burrow goes out. You're kind of biting yourself, you know, kicking yourself in the butt for taking a pay cut and then probably not even making it into the playoffs. But nevertheless, yeah, that's a bit of a bummer. I'd love to see more Chase Brown. I liked his tape. Some other names here, they're highly rostered, but just in case they're not available, they are available. Chuba Hubbard, looks like he's taking the reins from Miles Sanders there in Carolina. And then Damian Pierce, I'm not too terribly excited about this one because it's a committee between him and Singletary. And it's just, their matchups are horrible going forward. So if you're chasing off of Pierce's like one touchdown that he just had and a little bit of work there, I'm not, but Chuba Hubbard, I know we're both a fan of. He's highly rostered, probably not available, but double check just in case.
Chuba, I mean, has looked like the better back the entire year and has been, you know, rewarded with more and more carries, and so he's definitely a solid add.
Yeah, I mean, he fell into the end zone twice, had 100 yards on the ground, best rushing performance here, you know, of this season. So yeah, looked great. Excited for him. Hopefully he gets more work and you know, going into next year as well. You know, he just signed Miles Sanders. It's kind of crazy that they're just, I mean, Miles Sanders has been banged up too. So nevertheless, Chuba Hubbard, check him out, see if he's on your waiver wire. Let's go on to wide receivers, shall we? One guy, again, probably owned, but he's been on fire over the Cowboys stretch here. Brandon Cooks, I mean, he's owned in about 70% of leagues, so widely used. But past 4 weeks, double-digit fantasy points in that monstrous 173-yard game as well. So make sure he's picked up. If he isn't, I think he's somebody you could certainly throw against the Eagles. So and then against the Bills after that. So another game where we know the teams are going to put up points, and then the Dolphins. There's a lot of good matchups coming up. Very juicy for Brandon Cooks here in the next coming month. But I think the ones we should be checking out here, they're less owned than Brandon Cooks, but Jayden Reed and Romeo Doubs, 60% owned, is about where both of them are. We saw Christian Watson, he re-injured his hamstring, and yeah, I mean, there's no update on that, but we talked about hamstrings. It could go either way, zero to about four games missed. And Jayden Reed, Romeo Doubs both looked great. They're the wide receiver 31 and 34 on the season. You can pass a lot on the Giants. So if you need a fringe spot starter for your flex, you could do worse. I'm personally in the Jayden Reed camp. Where are you at, Jonah?
Yeah, Reed seemed to be more consistent for touchdowns, so I just would feel a little safer with him.
Yeah, I think whichever one gets a touchdown is going to be the one you're more happy with, because it's kind of roulette between these guys. And if you want to go even more in depth, the Giants, like I said, they're already giving it up to all wide receivers, but they're giving up the third most fantasy points to the slot, which is where Jayden Reed plays, since week 7, and they are 8th against wide receivers out. So if you just want that little bit of extra details, like I said, Jayden Reed kind of edges out Romeo Doubs there. Noah Brown,
yeah.
You know, you want any piece of the Texans' offense, Noah Brown, owned about half of leagues. It was just a month ago, he had back-to-back 150-plus yard games. Tank Dell is out for the season with a fibula break, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, I mean, Noah Brown, he didn't do anything this week, which kind of scares you, especially when Tank Dell goes out that early. And, you know, John Mechie was getting a little bit more looks. Rookie second-round pick from, I think, last year out of Alabama. He's getting a little bit of looks here. I don't know how to read it, but you want pass catchers on the Texans. I'd go with a guy who's had 150 plus yards in two games with Noah Brown. But Nico Collins, he's now clearly elevated as the wide receiver one. Do you have any kind of read, or which one are you kind of trusting yourself going into week 14 out of Noah Brown and John Metchie?
I mean, I would still trust Noah Brown. It's like you said, you have to go with the guy who's done it before. Mm-hmm. Last week, yeah, that was kind of crazy and scary. It is, but, you know, he's getting elevated up even higher than he was, and you're happy with his performance for a lot of the year. So I think he's still, at worst, a home run threat with, you know, a crazy high ceiling.
Yeah, yeah, and I liked him when he was on the... You know, we see these third or fourth string wide receivers. You know, I think of him on the Cowboys. He showed flashes on the Cowboys before he was picked up here for the Texans. So I liked that pickup. I liked the Cedric Wilson to Miami pickup. They didn't quite make it onto the roster there, but they can be playmakers here for the Texans for sure. Elijah Moore, you know, welcome back mm-hmm. to Fantasy Relevance. He's owned in about half of leagues. Joe Flacco, he's rekindling the flame with his old Jets teammate. And, yeah, I mean, 12 targets on the day. He only turned that into 4 catches, but for 83 yards, so that's nice. Amari Cooper is in concussion protocol. He's likely to miss the game. I think he's kind of a sneaky play. I loved Elijah Moore in his rookie season and going through the pre-draft process, but, you know, year two was kind of a wash. I kind of a loss there with how they used him. I was hoping more going into this year, but his quarterback, you know, carousel has been awful, so I can't really blame him, you know, for what he's been working with. But Elijah Moore, I think, is somebody who's pretty sneaky, especially if they keep Joe Flacco under center.
Yeah, definitely wanted to mention Moore. Very talented receiver, you know, was really talented on the Jets, and then they had their falling out, I guess. Mm-hmm. And so it's taken a while, but Moore is back. And, yeah, it seems that whoever the quarterback is, but especially Joe Flacco, you know, past few weeks, Elijah Moore's put up some numbers.
Yeah. And then you got Alec Pierce here. He's rostered in only 8% of leagues. I call him Mr. Cardio. I mean, he reminds me a ton of Cade Otton on the Bucks, although he plays tight end, but he's just glued to the field, but he's not doing much with it. Alec Pierce is a full-time player. He's on the field for, you know, 95% of the snaps in most situations. And, I mean, he just made Josh Downs take a back seat. He has first 100-yard game of his career, a short career, going into his sophomore year here this season. But before this game, he only had 291 yards. He, you know, bounces out this 100-burger. It's just wild. You're not used all season long, and then you have a random 100-yard performance. It kind of helps when you have a pretty big, like, I think it was about a 40-yard touchdown pass, but... Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, I am not starting him. I'll roster him if I have a deep enough bench and just kind of see where this goes. But I think it's still Josh Downs is the number two behind Michael Pittman, even though Alec Pierce has been running ahead of him all season long.
Yeah, Pierce is a guy I thought would be doing more by now. I really liked him as a good, just solid pass catcher out of the draft. Thought he could be a really good probably slot receiver there. And... yeah, his 100 yards was on 3 catches, so he caught, you know, 3 bombs. It's probably not going to happen again. But, you know, like I said, the talent is there, and apparently the playing time is there, but he's just not a part of their offense.
Yeah, yeah, playing time, and that's one of the things. The routes run don't necessarily equate to fantasy relevance always. You know, sometimes you have to go with the Josh Downs who are... it seems like the better player and certainly performing better for fantasy, but not always on the field. So that's where we're at with them. Some honorable mentions, I think. They're certainly worth mentioning because they got an uptick in work. They're probably deeper plays, but Jonathan Mingo, rookie wide receiver for the Panthers, he's owned in about 17% of leagues. And Devontae Parker, 11% of leagues. Both had changes in the offense. Parker got a QB change. Mingo got a head coaching change. And they had their best weeks of 2023, so I'd keep an eye on them. Again, not players you're starting, especially in week 14. But if you have the bench space, maybe you see if this role kind of gets even more elevated with these changes. But those guys are certainly somebody I've got an eye on, but I'm not starting. Any other wide receivers you want to mention here, Jonah?
Yeah, if we're going, I wanted to go with kind of a deep pull here.
Okay.
But Jalin Hyatt from the Giants.
Oh, yeah.
He's been showing up. He just had his 100-yard game. But he'd actually had two games with 75 yards plus as well. So he's showing up semi-consistently for a pretty bad offense. But, I mean, I guess especially in Dynasty, his future looks bright.
Yeah, no, I love the pickup. That's a great name to be mentioning because he's just coming out of the bye, so he's probably on roster or on the waiver wire. Certainly, people are dropping him there. But we mentioned him last week. Did you have to pick him up? But great name to be adding here, Jonah, and great matchups here too. I mean, plays Green Bay. Green Bay is going to be putting up points. Plays the Saints. Maybe not ideal there, but Philly, Eagles. So I mean, to cap out the season, he's playing some pretty high-powered offenses here that are going to be putting up points, so that just elevates Jalin Hyatt. Yeah, I like how he flashed against New England, making some nice sideline catches as well. And yeah, I think he's only – did he win the best wide receiver in college award last year, or was that Addison?
I think it actually might have been Hyatt.
Yeah, nevertheless, I mean – yeah, he won that award, you know, just a year or even two ago. So yeah, we know he's got the chops to make it here. Nice seeing a 100-yard game, but yeah, it's very very nice pickup. I'd pick him up over Alec Pierce, over John Mechie, Mingo, Parker. You could argue that he could be close to the top of the list behind the Jaden Reeds and Brandon Cooks and Romeo Doubs type tier. So, yeah, Jalin Hyatt or Noah Brown, which one are you kind of picking up there?
I'd go with Brown over Hyatt.
Yeah. Yeah, but, same. We just kind of seen it out of him, and the offense is just overall better. So I agree there. But yeah, Jalin Hyatt, certainly a good pickup. Shall we move on to tight ends?
Yes.
All right. Let's, I say tight ends, but I'm going to mention this guy here who plays every position known possible. He plays kicker, he plays quarterback, tight end sometimes, point guard, Taysom Hill. He's highly rostered, 65%, but if he's available, I think he has one of the safest floors and arguably the highest ceiling. And you've got Derek Carr, like I said, in concussion protocol, so is he going to be taking some more snaps from the quarterback position? Perhaps. I don't think he's going to be the starting quarterback by any means. They haven't really game planned for that, and he's missed some time before, and you didn't see him come in. It was Ben Winston then, but Taysom Hill, I mean, certainly a guy at the top of the list, but players that are rostered lower than 50% of the 50% of leagues, Gerald Everett. I mean, I'm going to go ahead and give you guys a little sneak peek into Friday's episode. He is going to be my start of the week. He is going to be a top 10, dare I say top 8 tight end on the week. Denver, they just give it up to opposing tight ends. My start of the week last week was Dalton Schultz. He didn't end up suiting up, but we had Brevin Jordan. If you're not familiar with the name, a Texans tight end. He had 64 yards on them. For perspective, he only scored 60 yards all season long before that. Yes, there's a little bit of Dalton Schultz missing the game, so he got an uptick in work. But nevertheless, tight ends have been gobbling up points against Denver, so Gerald Everett is at the top of my list this week for tight end streamers. Where are you at with the tight ends?
Yeah, no, Everett makes a ton of sense. I mean, you pick on the teams that are bad, and Denver can't cover the tight end for some reason. So you would hope the Chargers would put up more than 6 points this week, and they should be able to.
Yeah, I'd hope so. Do you have any interest in Chigakonkwo? We saw him here this week, 3 for 62, his best game of the season. Any interest there in the Titans tight end?
Not a lot. I mentioned him really early in the season, maybe week one. I thought he might be able to break out this year, but didn't really.
Yeah.
So, no, there's guys, I mean, that are available in most leagues that I'm more interested in than him. But if it gets down to it, if you have a lot of two tight end, owning teams, then there are worse options.
Yeah, no, certainly. I mean, I think that kind of caps up the tight end pickups. Taysom Hill, Gerald Everett, maybe Chigakonkwo in a tight end premium league, but I'm not excited for what is that? Probably the second pass catcher, maybe third pass catcher on a Will Levis offense right now.
Yeah, he hasn't been able to recapture that 400-yard magic.
Not quite just yet, but let's go ahead. We'll wrap it up. We'll go into the defense streams of the week. I think we're gonna have a lot of overlap here. We're just picking on bottom five offenses in the NFL. We'll start it off with the Texans at the Jets. The Texans, they're not a defense that is especially good. They're certainly not great. You could argue that they're good, but just like last week, I mean, I had the Falcons as my start of the week. It's not because they're great. They're certainly not great, but they were facing Tim Boyle and the Jets. And Tim Boyle got benched. They brought in Trevor Siemian, rightfully so, and he was just as bad. So it doesn't matter who's at the quarterback position for the Jets. It
Maybe
just
Zach Wilson's back.
maybe Zach Wilson. Well, have you seen the reports out of
Yeah.
he's reluctant to take the job back. So whatever that means, apparently he doesn't want to. He's like, oh, you guys have done this to me before multiple times. I need some kind of bonus or something, maybe.
Who knows? Yeah.
who knows? But the Jets, their schedule, it's Texans, then Miami, then Washington, then Cleveland, if Cleveland was somehow dropped. So yeah, pick up those. That's where I typically am. So in a lot of my leagues where I play with defense special teams, I will grab three or four defenses that have good matchups, just because I'll be holding on to players that I won't even be starting. So I'm dropping those Jaden Reeds of the world, and if I'm not going to be starting them, they don't crack my roster. And even if injury happened, then I mean these other defenses are going to score you so many points. So I'm just going to try and grab those up. I think the Packers at the Giants. Where are you kind of feeling at that? I feel like that's a pretty good
I feel
pick there.
pretty good about that. The Giants have certainly been better,
They have.
but the Packers is, a decent defense. It's not one of the bad defenses. So you're starting an average defense against what should be a bad offense.
Yeah. And the same thing goes for the Saints versus the Panthers. I think that might even be a better pick than the Packers, arguably. The Texans are certainly the top of my list. But the Saints versus the Panthers, where you kind of rank those three, the Texans, the Packers, and the Saints?
Gosh, that's tough. Yeah, you've got to bet against the New York Jets offense. So go Texans one. And then, those two are pretty equal. I would probably go Packers two and then Saints three.
Okay. Yeah, no, I totally don't fault you. I think they're all going to score a ton of points, so I don't think you could really go wrong. But again, we're just picking on these defenses, these poor offenses, even if they're great defenses. Any other defense streams you want to add to the list here?
Yeah, Jacksonville, they have Cleveland.
Oh yeah.
And so that's, whether, who knows if it's Joe Flacco of old, but it's probably safer to bet against that.
He did. I thought he looked okay. His one interception was like, why did you throw that? But I mean, it wasn't like a Tyler. I don't know if you watched the whole game, but the Tyler Boyd, when he threw the interception, it wasn't quite like that.
Yeah.
But it was a questionable throw. But no, I agree. The Jags have been. They've had some turnovers there for the quarterback position, and Joe Flacco is somebody who can certainly make them happy campers. So Jags, I do like that pick.
Yeah, and then I don't know what their own percentage is, but Steelers have your
Oh
Patriots this
yeah,
week, which looks
number
to be a
one.
good matchup.
Yeah, they'll be number one on the week. I was telling Jonah here. I was saying we could just nobody wants to watch this game. We could just record the podcast a little early on Thursday and just like record it during the game. But I think we came to the conclusion that we didn't want to have audible like barfing noises while we're watching and recording. So yeah, as a Patriots fan, I don't really want to watch it. I'm going to. I'm hoping we get somehow the first overall pick. I think we're slotted for number two right now. But yeah, it's not it's not a
There are a
pretty
couple
picture.
top prospects up there.
Yeah,
Who
yeah.
knows?
Caleb
Maybe the
Williams.
combine will make it go one way or the other.
Yeah, hopefully. But yeah, that's Steelers. I think they're pretty highly owned, but if they aren't, they need to be grabbed for sure. I think they still lead the league in takeaways, and the Patriots are somebody who's been given a lot of giveaways, if you will. Not good ones.
Yeah.
So those are the
Even my
defenses.
buddy Bailey Zappi couldn't save it.
He couldn't zap it. He couldn't make it happen. Ramondre Stevenson looked good before he went down, which, you only needed to score a touchdown to apparently win the game. So
Yeah.
that's a bit of a bummer. But yeah, I'm not sure how they're gonna go going forward with the quarterback position there in New England. But nevertheless,
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
Just wanted to thank you guys for listening to the waiver wire episode here, week 14, as we wrap up the NFL season. Just want to give you a heads up as well. You can find us on Twitter at DraftDive and at underscore Colt Williams. Also check out our website, draftdive.com. And just to give you a little heads up, the Wednesday, normally scheduled on Wednesday night podcast, will be coming out on Thursday night. So not Wednesday. So sorry, it'll be dropped one day later for our starts and sits episode. Jonah, any other words of wisdom to the people going into the fantasy playoffs? They got to win and get in. If they're already in, they're kicked up the recliner. What do you have to say to these people going into the fantasy playoffs?
Play your studs, but play your matchups.
Good words right there. Good words right there. All right, guys, we will catch you on Thursday for the starts and sits episode. Have a good night.
Thank you.